Hey, aloha, everybody. This is Jeff Reinbold. And yes, we are back. This is the Jeff Reinbold Show after what seems like 6 months off. It's more like 6 weeks, but we are back. I'm here with Michael McQuaid from NFL Ireland, and we are here to talk a little football. Mike, welcome back. It's great to be back with you.
Jeff, the last time I was talking to you, we were sitting looking up at a bounty stand, seeing what NFL players were upstairs in Las Vegas. Can I thank you for your help, your support that week? It was great crack. And it's hard to believe. I think this is going out on a Thursday morning, and it's 7 weeks almost since the Super Bowl in Vegas where the Chiefs obviously beat the 49ers. It was great to see you that day on TalkSport. And I know a lot of people on the Pro Football Ireland servers, a lot of people in Northern Ireland listened to that on the radio, and a lot of people in the Republic listened on digital on DAB as well. And obviously, Jeff, a lot of supporters for you in the UK. Well, listening. So you look like you enjoyed it. There was a great picture of us that we took just beforehand. I'm glad I found the celebrity folks. Jeff wouldn't come out of his VIP box hello for a few.
I hope you put that that image up on the screen, because that really wasn't what a great Super Bowl. Vegas is built for that game, and it did not disappoint. The only disappointing thing to me was the weather that week, because it was just so freaking cold. I lived in Vegas for a year, and I cannot remember it ever being where you had snow on the mountains all week. But, hey, it didn't dampen our spirits, and, you know, it was so cool, Mike. I gotta be honest with you. As your friend, number one, it was so much fun for me to see you on Radio Row and how hard you worked and all the people that you met and all the – I mean – you had more celebrities and superstars and crossing your path. And I mean, it was, I look around and there's, you know, Pat McAfee's big stage set up behind us. And the next thing I know, you're over there talking with Pat McAfee. I said, my man is enjoying his time in Vegas.
It was a bit mental. I appreciate the kind words you have, and not just yourself, Jeff, because I know it's the first week I was doing this. The kind words that so many people have had for everyone, yourself, myself, everybody included, just an enjoyable week. But Jeff, an enjoyable season, you know, it worked well. And just for people listening, I guess, before we start off, and Jeff has his rigmarole of content coming here. The next few weeks, the plan is to sort of get back into it. Audio podcasts with some real content. So no, I won't be putting that picture up, but it's on Instagram. I put it up the next day, Jeff. Don't worry, it's fine. What's the one thing that you've enjoyed doing in the last 6 weeks in terms of being able to chill? Like, what's the Hawaiian word for chill?
Well, we don't have, first of all, everything in Hawaii is chill, but we have been involved with, we've got our spring practice done. We came back, obviously, you know, it was disappointing on one hand, you know, when I came back, made the decision to come back and take this job, it kept me from fulfilling the commitments that we had in Ireland, which was really a disappointment, because I really, really was looking forward to that tour, and I hope we'll be able to do it at another time. But as soon as we got done with the Super Bowl, we came back here, finished spring practice, and, you know, it's been nonstop with recruiting and everything that is college football now. And, you know, we're going to blink our eyes and it's going to be week zero, August 24th. And you're going to see Florida State and Georgia Tech line up in Ireland, and we'll be lined up against Delaware State that night in Hawaii, and we'll be off to the college football season. And then 3 weeks later, it's going to be NFL season. So there is no off season. I tell you what, that's my email address. No off season Hawaii.
It actually, don't tell people what your email address is in the podcast, Jeff, for God's sake. Yeah, I actually have a bit of news in that. We're partnering up with a college game. And I say we, Pro Football Ireland, like, not Jeff, not Jeff. If Jeff, you want to negotiate with them, go for it. We're partnering up with them. So I'll be at that game. Thanks to them for the support. More to come on that in a few days. That's, I think, announced this week. If it isn't, I'm sorry, folks. I don't know. But yeah, looking forward to that.
Hey, while we're talking about Ireland and while we're talking about big news in Ireland, right, let's talk about those four young kickers that go over as part of kind of a quasi part of the IPP program, but really, you know, tag leader and Leader Kicking did a great job of going out and finding these guys. And, you know, you go from a guy like Rory Began, who's a, you know, elite level athlete and has a recognizable face in Ireland, to Charlie Smith's young guy that's, you know, hardly shaven. And he's out there, and those guys go out to Indianapolis to the combine, and they show out. And my agent, Paul Sheehy, out of Pro Sport in Denver, Colorado, catches wind of this. And he, you know, he goes and signs three of the four of them to his stable. Now, Paul has some of the best kickers and punters and long snappers, and he is a special teams agent specialist, I guess you would say. Dave Tobe, who's the Kansas City Chiefs special teams coach, is one of his clients. Thomas McGahee, who's a special teams coach with the Tampa Bay Bucks, is one of his clients. So he goes out and signs these three guys. And I think, and Charlie was in New Orleans with the Saints for a workout.
So this is going out Thursday morning. So as of this morning, Charlie is going to try it with the Saints today. So who knows?
When you think about that, I mean, you sign with the best agent you can sign with as a punter or kicker, right? Because whether it's Harrison Butker, or I mean, the guy's got guys, right? And if he feels, if Paul feels strong enough about these kids to go out and sign them, then that's a direct message, I think, to the football world, that these guys are legit prospects, that these guys, this isn't some fantasy camp. This isn't some, you know, publicity stunt by the NFL. These guys have legitimate opportunities to play in the National Football League.
Yeah, just to add there, before talking about the Irish guys, obviously because I'm biased, but Harry Mallander, rugby player as well, punting. I know he's been, like, he's got all those lads very well, and he really impressed at the combine and on the pro day. But also, I don't know the names in front of me, but there are a few different English guys with rugby backgrounds playing different positions as well, and also guys from around Europe, a lot from Australia. Obviously, the biggest name is Lewis Rees-Zammit, and by the time that we've recorded, Ian Rappaport is reporting that Lewis Rees-Zammit is visiting with the Broncos and Chiefs this week, so he will certainly get signed, I'm sure, by somebody in the IPP game. And then just props to yourself, Paul, everyone, for having the opportunity to break the news about Charlie. All I can do is light the candle for him this week and hope it works out. I just find it surreal that you're talking about Rory Began. I don't think you realize, like, this is, like, these lads, especially the Gaelic players, are amateur sportsmen. Charlie trained to be a teacher last year, left, was subbing in a school until the 1st of February, done a night with us in Dungannon, and then that 2 days later went to Florida. So props to Tig and his team. He's been a massive support on a personal level for me, Connor Mangan, all over the last few weeks. Like, Connor went out to the pro day for us and done so much stuff. So it's definitely, you know, you're talking about it not being an off season from a business viewpoint and from a content viewpoint, Jeff. It hasn't stopped. It's nuts, and it's great. But it would be pretty special to see Charlie sign. Like, he's an NFL fan. He's watched the league for 5-6 years. And yeah, hopefully by the next time we're talking next Thursday, when I believe you're starting your draft coverage, this is going to be relevant. On that, I want to shout out Jamie from the Bengals UK group, because Jamie, I want to apologize. I have not got back to you yet. It's been a bit of a mad week. He said to me, is there a people's draft this year? Is there, Jeff? I don't know.
To be a people's draft, because it isn't draft week there's no people's draft. And I know that it is a huge undertaking for you, but the fans absolutely love it. And what the people's draft has been, if you're a new listener to the show, what the people's draft has been is an opportunity for the fans to draft for their team in a fantasy draft, I guess you would, if you would call it. And so, you know, we get, get the fans involved, and, you know, you're talking about Bengals UK, they're already lining up and I want to make the pick for the Bengals. And then we go through the first round and we basically create our own draft where individual fans and fan clubs of each team make the selection for their team. And, we get them on, we get them on camera, we get them an opportunity. And I'm going to tell you something, Mike. How about some of the outfits and some of the fan caves we've seen? And I mean, it's been awesome. It's been absolutely awesome. The Kilted Texan is the one that is the guy. I love that.
We met him in Glasgow in December.
And it's really a great thing because you're talking about fans from all around the world get together to celebrate the draft in a really unique way. And I get tremendous, tremendous feedback every year from people all over the world about how much fun they have watching the people's draft. So certainly we'll try and do that again. But let's talk about
It'll
Mike.
look. It'll happen. It'll happen. More importantly, because I haven't asked you this, is our undercover water polo agent Oliver Hodgkinson coming back? Is that the
He is
plan for this?
chomping at the
Chomping at the
bit to
bit
be
to be
back and
back.
talk. We're going to
We're
go
going to go
through the
through the
draft. We're
draft.
going to go
We're going
through
to
the
go through the
draft
draft
prospects. We're
prospects.
going to
We're going
talk
to talk
about all
about
the
all the
quarterbacks that are
quarterbacks
out
that are out
there.
there.
This has
This
been
has
some
been some
really
really
intriguing
intriguing
offseason times as you watch this quarterback thing unfold, whether it's Justin Fields going from being the savior in Chicago to being a guy that just they let go for a middling draft pick. And again, there's a lot of things we can really peel back the onion, layers of the onion on. But I want to talk about free agency, Mike, first, right? And because we're just coming out of the really free agency never stops, but the bulk of free agency really has happened. And there have been some, I think, really interesting, interesting moves in free agency. And I want to start, Mike, with the NFC East, because that's always an intriguing division,
Division,
right?
right?
It's not
I'm really
maybe.
surprised you go with the NFC East. I thought you were going to go with one different guy.
But I tell you why, because those are traditional rivals. You're talking about Philadelphia and New York, Philadelphia and Washington, Cowboys and the Giants. Those teams all hate each other, right? And there is a long history between all of those teams. And so you watch what unfolds. And I'd like to go back because I'm not taking shots here. I'm just relaying news. Jerry Jones, who made his money as a speculator in the oil business and a promoter in the oil business, right? He's got to get investors to punch holes so that they can try and, find oil. Well, he is a promotional genius. Now, you could question some of his genius in terms of managing his football team because they haven't been to a Super Bowl since, I think, before you were born now. But he says they're all in at the Super Bowl. He says we are all in. The Cowboys are all in on 2024. And it was interesting, if you remember, Michael, what was Dak Prescott, his quarterback's answer to that when the media brought that to him, said, "Hey, did you know that Jerry said you're all in for 2024?" Do you remember what Dak's quote was?
Can you reenact it for us on the camera, please?
He goes, they heard
We
him. He goes,
are.
we'll see. So we'll see. This is what has happened since we had that conversation in free agency. When you talk about wins and losses, adds and losses, right? Well, let's add it up. Losses. Defensive end, Torrence Armstrong. Center, Taylor Biadasz. Defensive end, Dante Fowler. Cornerback, Noah Igbinoghu. Mike, that's four legitimate players to the Washington Commanders inside your division. You lose four starters inside your division. Now, you got Neville Gallimore, who's going to Miami. You lose him. You got Tyron Smith going to the Jets, your starting left tackle. You lose Tony Pollard, your starting running back. And you lose Michael Gallup at wide receiver. And you only add Eric Kendricks to replace Van Der Esch at linebacker. That ain't all in to me. I mean, and just yesterday, Jerry was quoted as saying they're locked and loaded for 2024. Well, here's the reality, Mike. Dak Prescott has them over a barrel. If they don't re-sign him and renegotiate that contract and sign him over a longer period of time and move money and do all the things that, you know, that great teams do to manage their cap, right? They're not going to be able to sign anybody. And they got and they got Micah Parsons, probably their best player, right? And CD Lamb, their best receiver. They want money too. So the Cowboys, if you're a Cowboy fan, this is not exactly the way you wanted the offseason to go.
I have to say, just for people listening, I told Jeff way before Vegas, like, I was like, take a break. We're not doing free agency. I don't care. Unless, if God himself comes down from the sky and buys a team, we're not doing it. So I felt for you the last few weeks, and this is all going on. But you know what? I'm glad we didn't. I'm glad. Do you know why? Because sometimes it can get lost. And what you've just said there, you don't hear that stuff a lot with different people. So I think it's good to hear it now. The thing in the Cowboys is the thing that I seen last night. Am I right in thinking that dead cap money in Dak Prescott's $96 million next year?
Well, think about it.
It's minimally
40 million. Minimally. Right?
That's so Russell Wilson territory, Jeff.
He is under. I mean, they're under the gun, right? And, you know, the Cowboys, frankly, have, I think, drafted pretty decently the last couple of years. But now, do you realize how much pressure that puts on your draft? Right? Think about this. And this is, again, sometimes I don't know if we really understand the ramifications of what happens. Not only did you lose those four starters to Washington in your division, right? So you've weakened your team, and a team that you're going to play twice has improved at your expense, right? Plus you lose your defensive coordinator to be the head coach at that team. So you theoretically you've weakened your coaching staff. Now you go and say the Commanders, right, have improved themselves to the point that the number one thing the Commanders have to do with this draft is get a quarterback. Now they have the luxury because, and we'll get into who they signed, because they signed more than just those guys up from Dallas. Dan Quinn went out and got a number of players that are, and again, they're not going to be long-term solutions. They're going to be one-year guys, prove it contracts, you know, veterans that know what he wants, guys like Bobby Wagner that he's had before. But that allows them in the draft, Mike, to draft best player available, which is what you always want to be able to do, as opposed to overdrafting for need. So they're going to take, with that first round pick, they're going to take a quarterback, right? And it may be J.J. McCarthy, it may be Jaden Daniels, who knows? But right now, you look at the Redskins, and I think the Redskins are in a position, right, in a position to make a quantum jump in the NFC East and leapfrog the Cowboys, frankly.
I think the Giants as well, personally. I mean, like, it's if you're leapfrogging the Cowboys, you're leapfrogging the Giants. We'll talk about the Giants and the Eagles in a wee second, but you know, you mentioned the fact that Dan Quinn comes in, and one of the guys that you could mention there as well on a short-term deal, or a guy that they're going to bring in the service at a position such as running back, Austin Ekeler. He is a game changer for them, because they have struggled, especially on the run in certain situations in 2023. If they're playing an NFC East team on the road and they need to just pound the ball, run the ball, give it to Ekeler. Give it to him. It doesn't matter. So if you're talking about having a rookie quarterback coming in, they get JJ coming in, right? If they can focus on Ekeler and Brian Robinson, that's that. And you've still got Dotson. You've still got Crowder. I think they've brought in Zach Ertz as well, haven't they?
Yes, they have, late in the day.
So they've such a nucleus there to work around if they can get the right guy. And that's where you're coming back to the point of this draft, even for people that are maybe coming into this podcast, coming into the league for the first time in the offseason, bringing in this person in the draft, trying to get the right quarterback is such a pivotal moment, because it could be the difference for the Commanders, Jeffrey, between fourth in the NFC East and first or second. And we all know with the way the NFC went last year in relation to the AFC, how many wins gets you in? 9, 10? Could they get to 9? Certainly.
I think there's no question about that. They had the most, the Commanders had the most cap space of anybody, over $100 million, right? And they invested it wisely, because let me go through some of these names, Mike. And I think, you know, you've hit on a couple already. We talked about Bobby Wagner. Here's a guy that Quinn knows. He had him as a young player in Seattle. He's going to bring leadership to the defense, right? You talked about Austin Eckler, ultra productive running back with the Chargers, right? All right, now, Zach Ertz, obviously the, quote, receiving tight end that they need, right? Nick Allegretti. Now, everybody goes, who the frig is Nick Allegretti? Nick Allegretti has been a first-line backup in Kansas City. Anytime they had an injury, Allegretti went into the game and played well. This is an opportunity for him to now become a starter, and I think that's a great signing. You got Mariota is not the answer, but he'll be a veteran presence behind the rookie quarterback to help the young kid along. Marcus Mariota is a good locker room guy, and he's a dependable backup. We saw it with the Raiders, okay? You talked about Jamison Crowder, right? You got Jeremy Chinn, who's an underrated safety coming in. Clelin Ferrell as a pass rusher. And, you know, and then the one that's a steal to me is Frankie Louvu from the Carolina Panthers, who's a really, really good linebacker. Now, you may not know that name because he played in Carolina in a small market team that, you know, was bad. Frankie Louvu's a good football player. And I think that I give the Commanders really, really high marks for what they did in free agency.
There's the title of this podcast. Jeff believes in the Commanders. I will say this because I want to talk about the Eagles here. We know the Commanders for a long time now have been a rebuild project, but we know, especially in the last 6 to 12 months, they've been literally admitting to themselves, we're working in the future here. It's almost like a Formula One team looking at Max Verstappen and Red Bull going, well, we can't compete with this year. But we'll go back and we'll work in the background. And you can see already with what that management team has done and with Dan Quinn, they've made moves. And now, probably one of the biggest stories from me now about this draft is who are they going to get? Because that is the biggest story. And we've seen the insiders in NFL Network this week, I think, talk about the fact that they're going to go after JJ McCarthy in the draft. That is what the belief around the NFL, around GMs at the minute is, that the Commanders are going to go after the former Michigan quarterback. So, yeah.
And I don't think that it's a secret, really, that JJ McCarthy has probably been the guy at that position, certainly, whose stock has risen the most in the pre-draft process. Because one of the challenges with McCarthy when you thought about him until you researched him was, okay, solid game, you know, hope, here's that title again, game manager, right? Just look at what the kid did at Michigan. Won a national championship, is won probably 85% of his games. He, you know, we played him in 2022, and I'm going to tell you something. He has enough arm. As a matter of fact, he's got plenty of arm. He is not a guy that has had to win games with his athleticism, but he's more than athletic enough, right? Now, you put Jaden Daniels reel on, and you put Caleb Williams reel on, and you're going to see more off-schedule plays. You're going to see the crazy arm angle throws and all that other stuff. But again, as of right now, there's only been one guy like that who's won a Super Bowl, and that is Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think anybody's willing to say Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels is the next Patrick Mahomes. They have traits like Mahomes, but they ain't Mahomes. Okay? So what do you need with out of McCarthy? You need the guy that's going to come in and have the ability to throw the football, make all the throws, do all that stuff. He's smart. He's tough. He's a winner, right? And they have taken it in free agency. They have built a foundation of a football team that allows them to go into the draft. Where are there a lot of players in this draft? Offensive linemen.
Yeah.
DBs. Right? Receivers. It's an interesting draft. So they can now go into the draft and say, okay, with the picks that we choose to use after we take our quarterback, we're going to take the best player on the board. You know, Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu, you got two starting caliber linebackers, and you're not going to have to draft them. You can draft a young one to come in and learn how to play behind those veterans. I think it's really, really smart what Dan Quinn has done in with the Commanders.
I'm gonna keep this video for October. I'm joking. I agree with you. I agree with you. Jeff drinking a Starbucks. I'm gonna talk about a star very quickly here because we have to talk about this. You know, one of the biggest moves of free agency was the movement of Saquon Barkley to the Eagles from the New York Giants. And Jeff, for people listening to this, Saquon Barkley was born in the Bronx but moved to Pennsylvania at 3 or 4 years of age. For him, it's going home. However, as you said about 10 minutes ago, they hate each other. They hate each other. Can I just say, as somebody that's thousands of miles away, I get it, but I don't get it. He's going home. Let him at it. The fact he had to come out on social media and be like, to all the Giants fans disappointed, I'm sorry. It's a business. It is a business. Saquon Barkley at one point, 2 or 3 years ago, genuinely did not know if he would get his career back on track. He then got back on track, was tagged, what, last year? They let him go this year. And now, if you're the Eagles, you've got Kenneth Gainwell, Saquon Barkley. They also bring in Kenny Pickett as a backup quarterback because I think Gardner Minshew went to
Raiders.
Indianapolis.
Raiders,
So,
Raiders.
yeah, man, I'm all in.
You know, I think the Eagles are another one when we talk about the NFC East. You know, you're talking about a team. Howie Roseman does a great job, right? You do two things when you bring Saquon Barkley into your room, right? You automatically improve the running back room. Now, they let Swift go, right? And I don't think that's a big loss. Because all the things that Swift can do, Barkley can do. And Barkley's a more physical back than Swift is. And again, you know, you talk about closers, Mike, guys that can close a game out for you. You know, Henry and guys like that, big, strong guys. Well, Saquon has those same traits, right? Now, what I think you also do is you've weakened a team that you have to play, right? We talked about the Cowboys losing those four starters to Washington, right? Well, that weakens the Cowboys but improves Washington. The Eagles did the same thing to the Giants. And, you know, the fans don't understand because the fans are fans, right? But the reality of it is Saquon knows he's now on the back half of his career and he has to make his money now. Running backs don't have a long shelf life. So I do not blame him at all for going to Philadelphia. It's interesting you say it's his home because when he got signed or drafted by the Giants, he mentioned that it was a dream come true because he was going home to New York. But I guess home is wherever you're getting paid when it comes to the money that these guys make. I think too, you know, you look at the Giants and you know, here's what I keep seeing with the Giants over and over and over again. Got to fix the offensive line.
Yeah.
Got to fix the offensive line. Got to fix the offensive line. So they got a guy who's not good enough to play tackle, right? That they drafted in the first round. And so now you're going to have to slide him in and see if you can protect him and he can play guard. And so now you got to go out and you got to sign John Runyon. And you got to sign Jermaine Illuminor. And he is a good football player. He's not a great football player. You tie up an awful lot of money in those two guys. And they have got to work out for you because your offensive line was a mess last year. Now, Runyon's a good player. Illuminor's a good player, right? That's just the start of it. You got to have five of them that can function together, right? Now, you look also. They signed Brian Burns, which I thought at the time was really a smart signing because now you've got a guy on the other side, right, of Thibodeau that can push the pocket and can bring the quarterback to Thibodeau. And you've got we got Dexter Lawrence inside. And so you've got three out of the four positions have bona fide pass rushers there. So last year, when you watch the Giants defense, Mike, they almost had the blitz to get pressure. Okay. And their pressure rate out with four was maybe as low as anybody in the league. So they've definitely improved that aspect of the football team. Brian Burns cost them $141 million. So they're banking on him being a cornerstone of a defense that needs to improve. But you go out and you take Devin Singletary. That is a huge loss in my mind. The difference between Saquon Barkley and Devin Singletary, it's huge. It's a huge loss. And the Giants have not fixed an area that has been problematic for them. If Daniel Jones has a chance, he needs weapons. If he has a chance, he needs weapons. Waller is contemplating retirement, and they have just a cast of guys at wide receiver, right? Hyatt's got to have a breakout year, and there's been no indication that that's coming by his performance. So if you're a Giants fan, you got concerns. I mean, you truly have concerns, because I think, you know, they lost McKinney, they lost Saquon Barkley, so you lose two of your foundational pieces on both sides of the ball, and you haven't replaced them with anybody yet. So I think the Giants, you know, this is not I don't see the Giants offseason as trending in the direction that they would want to see it trend.
Yeah, it comes down to that whole conversation I feel like we had last offseason, where it was like, well, this is going to be a challenging year, but an important year for Joe Sheehan and Brian Daboll, and the right decisions have to be made. Daniel Jones goes down, and again, you know, the fact that Drew Locke had to come out in his press conference and tell people that he is, you know, definitely the backup and Daniel Jones is the starter, I think sort of rings a merry in New York. Nobody seems to know what's going on, and it's a situation where you hit the nail on the head in regard to the wide out room. Who have they got? Wandale Robinson? You said Hyatt needs a breakout year. I mean, Odell Beckham's not going home.
OBJ's a conversation that we can have down the road, but you know, Miami's offered him a contract, and as of right now, as of this podcast, he hasn't signed it. So, you know, and that's the economics of the business, right? He's an often injured veteran guy, right? Who has now gone from being a wide receiver one to being a complementary piece. Well, you know, complementary pieces that are old and injury prone aren't good investments usually. And so I'm sure he's not getting the kind of money that he anticipated he would get based upon what he's done in the league. But that's the economics of football.
I've seen Kim Kardashian said she wants to have children with him for genetics reasons, and he dumped her. That's a whole different story in the offseason. But but basically, we all know what's going to happen with Odell Beckham. He's not going to sign anywhere to like the 26th of August, and then he's going, oh, don't even start me on that. That's a whole other offseason story. Before we wrap up this podcast, we have to talk about one man. We will come back and we'll recap him more. We got to go Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. I haven't asked you, but what was your initial thoughts when you heard that move? Because it feels like Atlanta are going all in. Like, we fought for weeks, they were going to get Bill Belichick. They go a different direction. And now Cousins has an opportunity to really make a move in that division.
I think my take, Mike, when I heard that there was a possibility that he was going to leave Minnesota and that Atlanta would be his, you know, new home, was wow, right? Wow. Because here's what Kirk Cousins brings you. He's an automatic 4,000-yard guy. I mean, that's what his history tells you, right? He's gonna pass for 4,000 yards. And you put him in that offense with all those weapons that they have, and what has been the single most difficult thing for the Falcons for the last 3 years? Inconsistent quarterback play, right? So now you keep the weapons that you have. You inject a quarterback who you know is popular with his teammates. He's great in the locker room. He's incredibly competitive. He's a proven commodity to a football team in a weak division. In my opinion, the Falcons this offseason, we can talk in depth about the Falcons later, but the Falcons, by bringing in Kirk Cousins, have vaulted themselves in a weak division to be the favorite in that division, right? I think they and Tampa Bay are the two favorites in that division. I think New Orleans is, you know, at the like a veteran player that just, you know, they have issues. And obviously Carolina's got a long, long, long way to go before they, you know, even become a competitive team in the league. So I think right now for the Falcons, that one puts you in a position to win your division. Now, he's coming off of an Achilles tendon tear. I understand that. But the surgery and the rehab and all that today on Achilles tendons is so much better than it's ever been. And you know that Kirk Cousins is one thing he is renowned for are his work habits. So, you know, you're talking about the kind of guy you want to invest money in.
Year two of Bijan, they bring in Darnell Mooney from the Bears. They're building a whole new system there. I want to apologize to people listening, eager listeners. Gardner Minshew did not go to the Colts. He went to the Colts last year. He went to the Raiders
Really?
this year.
Really?
I'm rusty, man. I'm rusty. That's called 7 weeks of, chilling, working my arse off without doing anything else. Here we've got a couple more minutes left. Is there any other move that you want to talk about, Jeff, in free agency or anything that sort of took your eye over the last few weeks?
Well, I think, you know, it's been interesting to see that the quote, and let me use this title, the rise of the running back again. Because when you look at what's happened in free agency, all of a sudden, guys are getting paid again, right? Remember a couple of years ago when the running backs, none of them, there were a bunch of them on the street and none of them had
Liability.
guys. Yeah. And it was just like wait and see, and we'll see what we get in the draft, and we can draft a running back and all that. So now you look at the Packers, right? Who go out and get Josh Jacobs because they want to get younger and more physical at the position, right? Austin Eckler gets a payday to go to Washington. Saquon gets a payday to go to the Eagles. Pollard leaves the Cowboys, right? I mean, these guys are now, I think the league is cycling back to the fact Travis Henry gets a huge contract, right? To go be that closer that is so desperately needed in Baltimore, right? And you think about what he's going to bring to that offense. I think it's been an awesome offseason for the running back position and kind of a, you know, how the NFL goes in cycles. I think we're going to start to see the value of the running back come back into the league because there was years, Mike, where it was a devalued position.
Jeff, I've missed talking Baltimore, man. I have. It's good to be back. The plan is for people listening, podcast every Thursday between now and August. If there's anything extra, we'll do it. But we're gonna start draft prep next week, so we've got what four-ish episodes. And I think, Jeff, to be honest with you, yourself and Ollie, and I'll come on as well for the crack, but yourself and Ollie are very, very good. And I think by condensing it, maybe looking at two positions and going through certain players in, I don't think the draft is that heavy, I think that those later rounds, I literally spoke to Jim Nagy with this, that rounds 5, 6, 7, like I know always you're it's a shot in the dark. I think this year it's oof. So I can't wait to hear what some of you boys are going to say, but I think 4 weeks of that there in and out, and we'll do a people's draft. All right, it's going to happen, just bear with me. We'll do it the Sunday of draft week.
You heard it, fans. You heard it right here.
For people looking to go to Ireland, if here's the crack, people for you looking to go to Ireland, if you're in Sky this year, if you're in the UK this year, I mean around that time, we'll make it work closer to the time. There's my audio commitment to you right now. Have you any final words for this podcast yet?
No, man, I just it's
Any
cool.
words of luck for the IPP boys? Are you religious? Will you light a candle metaphorically? What's the
I
plan here?
already lit a candle and said a puli, which is that's the Hawaiian word for prayer for these guys, because I think they're about to step off into a really great, unbelievable adventure. I think it's great for football in Ireland. It's great for football internationally. You know, the game continues to grow. And Mike, again, one more time, and I say this, and I say it all the time, but it's because I feel so strongly about it. I think what you have done in Ireland with NFL Ireland and the content that you put out and the people that you've been able to attract to your podcast and all of that has been phenomenal. It's been great for football. It's been great for the fans in Ireland. And you're gonna continue to pound away, and we're gonna get some more big time Irish content or Irish based content, if you will, on NFL Ireland as we go forward.
I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're saying there. Believe me, I do. Thank you for your support, and thanks to everybody for the support. Man, honest to God, it means an awful lot. And I know we'll get you over at some point and have a bit of crack. Please, God. Before I go, I was in a local village, my local village, at the weekend, and the shop was selling something called the Taste of Hawaii, pineapple and almond cream cheese ring. Is that a thing in Hawaii? Should I know about this?
Pineapple is
Pineapple
a
is a
thing.
thing.
Almonds, not so much. More macadamia nuts, but hey, just tell me this. You'll never have what they call Hawaiian pizza. And that's
And that's
pineapple
pineapple
and
and
pepperoni on the
pepperoni
same
on the same
pizza.
pizza.
No way.
No way. Absolutely not. I'd rather just quit the whole podcast game and do that. We're back next Thursday. Look, if Jeff runs into Jerry Jones or Roger Goodell, we will get back sooner. But the plan is Thursday. Jeff's a busy man. We're all, do you know, Jeff, I think it's something that I've seen from that Brett Favre podcast at the minute. It's quality over quantity, I think. I think at the minute it is just have a bit of crack, have a bit of fun. I hope folks, if you're listening to this on a Friday morning going to work or listening to it on a Friday night with Hawaii and Jeff, enjoy it. Have a great weekend. Any final words, Jeffrey?
Aloha.